If you like what you watch, then don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates on The More Show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for new weekly television and radio shows.
The comments and views expressed on The More Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Moore, The More Show, or this radio station and its affiliates or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The More Show, which is sponsored by the Mindscape magazine.
Massively regular basis, in order to try and expand my consciousness and my ability. And then quite suddenly, one morning, doing one of my morning waking meditations, I was visited by four white-robed individuals who were smiling and nodding gracefully to me and talking to me in a way which is you can only classify as telepathy. And they told me that everything I was doing was right and everything I believed in was right, but it was the wrong time. I needed to get some more earthly lessons and experiences under my belt first. So from that sort of day onwards, I almost subconsciously backed off from the spiritual side. Still kept off, my interest in it, but really quite backed off. And then it wasn't until literally when I was 39, a friend of mine introduced me to Reiki, and I got involved with that and interested again. Started to do the energy healing there with that. And another friend who was actually my energy healer said she was starting to do a course based upon the work that she'd done as a student of Barbara Brennan in the United States, who's got a very big following with the books The Hand of Light and Light Emerging. And she taught me all the skills from that. And part of that awakened some of the abilities to traverse the frequencies, because when we do healings on different levels of the human aura and the chakras energetically, we naturally got different levels. Well, I found I could go for quite a lot further than those levels I was being taught by my...
So these different levels, now you're talking about when you meditate, you're able to take yourself to a very deep state where you're then what would be called connecting with the spirit world or another dimension that you feel is the dimension where our consciousness goes to when we pass on. Is that right?
In essence, that's correct. There was various different levels or frequency levels, and the frequency bands are very, very wide. For instance, the frequency band that the physical universe exists in contains every conceivable frequency that we can ever possibly measure or will measure right now. And then above that are other frequency bands. And as we go into these other frequency bands, which are inflating subdimensional components, which in turn are components of the full dimension, they create in their own right a concurrent universe. And it's those concurrent universes which are, if you like, they're the universes that other energetic beings exist within, and they're where we exist in as our true selves.
Okay, when you say our true selves, you're talking about we're a soul having a human existence, and this soul, this purest part of us, of the soul from where we come from, is always there, basically as a higher consciousness that we can connect to, and you've tapped into this higher consciousness.
Well, I've not so much tapped into my own higher consciousness. I've tapped into the consciousness of that entity which created us. So that entity which created us, we would classify as our multiverse. That entity itself was created by another entity, which the Hindu scripts call the Absolute, which announced itself to me as the origin. And it created the source entities, and one of those source entities is our source entity, or our God, to help it evolve faster. And the way to evolve faster through evolution is a good way of saying it as well, is to really experience things at all different levels in all different ways, and the fastest wave of evolution that's been spotted so far by the source entity, and indeed ourselves as creations of the source entity, and we've been created in our trillions of billions of zillions to experience the minute detail of the environment, that is the source entity, in its very basic sense. And its experience of the lower frequencies where we are now, where we're stripped away from our plethora of senses and faculties and abilities, and then some part of us is then squeezed into a vessel where we can experience the physical whilst being in the physical, means that we lose all of our opportunity to have what we call precognition or instantaneous understanding of different experiences or the outcome of different experiences before we experience them. So we really are very much on our own. And in being on our own, in the harshest of environments possible, we learn much faster and we evolve much faster and we pass that evolution on to the source.
Oh, okay. So we are evolving ourselves on the behalf of this source. Mm. But then if our consciousness comes from that source, we must be the source as well. So when I say we're on behalf of the source, we're doing this work for really, we're doing it for, if we're connected, it's you know, we are the gods, aren't we, in a sense?
Absolutely correct. We are, as being created from the source entity, we are still the source entity. We don't lose that connectivity with the source entity because we can't. We exist within the source entity, so we are still the source entity, as the source entity is still created within the origin. So, if you like, there's a lineage there. We are all part of the source entity, and the source entities, including our God, are all part of the origin. So, together, we're all source entity, we're all God, and we're all the absolute, in essence, in its entirety, albeit on a small and individualized perspective.
Why are we trying to? What are we trying to evolve? I mean, why are we here then, having this human experience? I mean, what? I mean, I know we can't answer many of these questions because it's beyond our perception, but you seem to have tried to answer them in this book, The History of God. What is one key thing that we're here on this planet to learn, to evolve to?
It's essentially putting ourselves through hardships or delightful experiences, and those delightful experiences can lead us down a number of different paths. And the objective is to get to a goal that we've set ourselves without knowing how to get there. It's almost like we're asked to go from one city to another city by pure memory that is disappearing quite quickly and without a map. And we get there by hook or by crook, as it were, by experience, by going the wrong way, by then going the right way and maybe making a few right decisions. And it's all about getting to this goal of, I want to experience this, and this. And it doesn't matter how I get there, but along the way, I will experience different experiences in getting to this end goal. And in doing that, those experiences create learning. And as a process of experiencing and learning, we evolve as a result of that. So we gain wisdom, if you want to call it that way around.
But if we're part of this superior consciousness that we came from, then why, if it's all-knowing, all-everything, the superior consciousness, why would it want to have a human experience? Why would it want to go through this bare basic evolution when it is everything, it is all?
Mm. Well, quite clearly it doesn't know everything about itself. I mean, in one of my other books that I'm just writing now, which is Beyond the Source Part 2, Beyond the Source, Part 1, by the way, is going to be published by Ozark, and it'll be on the bookstalls sort of March next year. I found out that even the origin doesn't know all about itself. It knows a fraction of 1% of itself. So if you look back to its creations, the source entity, they don't know the fine detail of themselves. So they create something smaller to be able to experience the fine detail of themselves in a way that they can't do themselves. So whereas if we look at our own human body, if we consider our own consciousness in the human body as being the source entity or God, and that part of us that we've created, one of our cells, we have no idea what our cells are doing within our body, But the cells do. The cells are experiencing things that cells experience, and they work with, and they live and they die and they reproduce. But us as a conscious large animal, as it were, we don't experience what our cells experience. And therefore, if you use that example, that's exactly what's happening with the source entity. As a bigger entity, he can't get down to the real fine detail of what its form is, its multiverse, its own multiverse, its existence is. So it's created us as much, much smaller entities, albeit still parts of it, to experience that minute detail and feed back to it.
You know, that's very difficult to get your head around that. I mean, to have created what we have now and the complexity of our universe and the magnificence of it, I mean, we're not supposed to get our human brains around that, are we?
We will have much more understanding, specifically when we lose our physical body, because our physical body is a constraint in its own right. It limits our ability. We have a bandwidth which is drastically reduced when we go into the physical. So in the physical, we will never really get anywhere near understanding a fraction of what the universe is all about, let alone the rest of the energetic universe. But when we release ourselves, i.e. the body dies, from experiencing the physical whilst being in the physical through using a physical body, then we're able to retract that part of that energy that's been associated with the physical body back into the larger energetic being than we are, and then we can experience the universe and the multiverse in a much fuller sense, albeit in a still a limited sense, but in a massively increased perspective compared to where we are when we're in the physical.
Yeah, so you've mentioned there a number of times that there's, that our God, if you want to call it that, has another ranking above it, basically. Mm. And our God has a God, is that what you're saying?
Well, I think the word God is probably something that mankind's invented. It has a creator. That's probably a better way of saying it. And the source entity is the source of all that we understand and know in our own condition. It has a source entity as well, which calls itself the origin. It is the origin of everything that can ever and ever will be. And there's nothing above that. Even though it is itself only aware of a fraction of 1% of its own area, as it were, it's only self-aware of less than that small fraction. There is nothing else beyond that. And when I had communication with the origin and other air source entities outside of our own source entity to understand what the origin was, it was very clear that the information I was getting was very consistent with Hindu texts on the subject that are literally hundreds and thousands of years old that I've never even come across. So for me, that was wonderful corroborative information to suggest that
absolutely.
What I was picking up was right.
Yeah, I mean, Hinduism, I mean, that's older than most religions. I think it's older than Christianity, if I'm right.
Yeah, I mean, people think that Hinduism is religion. It's actually science. From our perspective, it's full. It's a fuller understanding of the universe and the physics of the universe and mankind's position within the universe than any of the other religions, which incidentally didn't start off as religions. They all started off as a methodology of trying to maintain mankind's understanding of the energetic state whilst incarnating the physical. Religion came later when it became a control medium to control people's personalities and everyday working practices, but in essence, all religions have done that. But in essence, it's all to do with trying to keep people understanding what the reality, greater reality, is. When we went through the phase of dropping down the frequencies due to being besotted with the physical, because that was the problem with being the physical, is that it's quite enticing.
Do you feel that there's a change going on right now out there in the world where people are having to look within themselves nowadays, and are asking themselves, you know, these questions of who am I, why am I here, what is my purpose?
Yes, and I think that that's happening globally. It's not just a case of, you know, one or two people, and that's happening because if you look across the world, everybody's having to work really hard to stand still. Time itself has speeded up. There's now 17 or 18 hours in what used to be a 24-hour day. So people find it's more difficult to get things done in the daytime. But the essence of people asking themselves, you know, why am I here and what am I doing this for, is based upon this. We're having to do so much now to stand still that people are starting to revolt against it and go, hey, hang on, this can't be right. I can't be having to work this hard to stand still. I can't be having to work this hard to make a living. I can't be having to work this hard to maintain relationships, to continue my existence. There must be something more than this. And those fundamental questions of self and the greater reality start the spark off. So if you like, the whole environment of the earth is creating a hardship environment to make people start to look within themselves and go, hang on, this can't be right, this is too hard. And in doing that, people start to look towards the greater reality. And sometimes it's through religion, sometimes it's through some of the spiritual arts of various different levels, from the Reikis to some of the Hindu texts, to some of the Christian texts, some of the Muslim texts. I mean, they've all got the truth in there somewhere. And then they move on from that. And if they can, they can move on beyond that which is contained within those religions and see the truth beyond that, especially if they start to meditate and contemplate the greater reality.
Do we need to have an understanding of those questions? Who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? What does asking those questions sort of bring up on ourselves? And can we get the answers for those questions on a sort of everyday sort of existence? I mean, do you need to think outside the boxes in the spirituality aspect of it to answer those questions?
Well, there's two answers to that question. The first answer to the question is, not everybody needs to become self-aware or start to question where they are because of their evolutionary content or the fact that they've decided to come to Earth and just experience Earth in its raw state. Those that may be more highly evolved or are trying or part of the ascension process, or the process of raising the frequencies, in fact, which is also part of the ascension process, place themselves in positions of questioning. There's little milestones that they reach where they get to this milestone and all of a sudden something clicks inside them and says, oh, this isn't quite right, or, oh, I can understand this now, and but isn't there something more to this? And they start to move on, or they meet people that are, you know, windows of opportunity. One person leads to somebody else who leads to somebody else who can lead to another person of like-minded thought processes who might say, well, you know, I've got some answers to your questions here. And by the way, they're not just talk. You can experience these things experientially as well. So it gives you a level of proof there that you can, you know, some tangible proof that you can hang on to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Is it, you know, when you do ask, you know, answer some of those questions with the answer, which I've done as well, and I've personally come to the conclusion that, you know, I am more than just the body of Kevin Moore or the physicality of Kevin Moore. When you ask yourself those questions and you come on a roundabout way come to that conclusion, it takes a long time, it can take a lifetime, to be honest. Mm. You do look at life differently, don't you? And especially the way you treat others, yourself, what it is you're doing here now, you know, just the everyday things become a lot deeper, don't they?
Yes, I mean, there's one of the most fundamental factors is that we start to realise that everything around us has been laid on for us to experience. and so when we don't take on board those experiences and we make a mess of it, we have to do it again. We find out that it's all been laid on for us again, but in a different way. So everything really is nothing more than a play or a, in some instances, a computer game that where everything is laid out for us, and all we've got to do is go down the right road or the right maze, as it were, to get there. It's very interesting that we take time to sometimes understand who and what we are and to start the awakening process.
Again, with the audience that listen to this right now, that's not to take away anybody that anybody that's content with their life or is, you know, doesn't want to ask these questions. You know, that's fine as well, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to. And I guess I'm not trying to, or you're not trying to make people, go into themselves and sort of, ask these questions. But every life is special, isn't it? Every life is unique. And no matter what you're doing, as long as you're being true to yourself, I think that's the most important bit. Everything's perfect.
Yep, there is no right and wrong. So every decision you make, whether you like, whether one likes it or hates it, or thinks it could be optimized in some way, actually, at that point in time when we made that decision, that was the perfect decision based upon what we got around us to do. So yeah, absolutely, it doesn't matter what people are doing. Some people don't want to be involved spiritually. They've got their own learning and experience package to go through, their own life plan to go through, and therefore it may not involve getting involved with trying to become more aware and more awake and helping others do the same, whereas for others being partially involved or aware is fine as well, and again for others still they may have a more worldwide game plan as part of their life plan as well.
Do you feel that there's definitely a change going on right now where, things aren't going to be the same in 10 or 20 years or even in 5 years? There's going to be a change where I can't say exactly what the change is going to be, except for we seem to be going in a different direction right now, don't we, as a whole?
Yeah. Effectively, as explained before, there's all these things happening in the world, and it's sort of sort of squeezing is all out to the top, as it were. If you imagine oil sitting on water, everything is moving toward the oil going on top of the water. And if you think about the oil being what we are and the water being the environment, and the rising of the oil on top of the water is it rising through the levels of the water, and that's equal to our rising through the frequencies, and that's exactly what's going on. As people get more and more discontented with the mundane side of their existence and start turning towards understanding the greater reality and the spiritual, turning towards God if they need to, turning towards understanding the physics and the metaphysics and the spiritual physics of the universe, they start to expand their own awareness, and therefore when they do that, they increase their own frequencies. And when they increase their frequencies, their ability to receive higher information increases. And in doing that, and talking to people around them, they in turn increase the frequencies of those around them. So what's happening right now is the little networks of triangulation happening here, where like-minded people are getting together, and those people in between them are being affected by these individuals increasing their own frequency through being inquisitive, if you like, of the greater reality, and getting information about the greater reality on their own or with help. As they get more and more information, their frequencies rise. They rise the frequencies of those in between them, and this is happening worldwide right now. So, the so-called ascension of the Earth, moving into the next frequency or the next dimension, depending upon how, and there's different ways of explaining this. So I'm not going to go into that level.
Sure.
of detail of nomenclature detail. But in essence, it's happening. The Earth is rising, and the human race are rising through the frequencies at a robust, a steady and robust rate that is not going to collapse. And that means that certain dates that people jump onto, the bandwagon of, for instance, the last one, 11th, 11th, 11, where big things are going to happen, and then we all look around and go, okay, what's happened there? Nothing's happened. Things have happened. People have got together and done meditation groups on that particular day, or they've injected energy into the Earth to help the Earth's ley lines in that particular day. Together, they've done little pockets of good for the Earth and little pockets of good for themselves. little pockets on their own. They don't cause the ascension on the, in its own state, or cause a bulk raise in the base frequency of the Earth. What they do is in totality affect the rise in the frequency of the Earth in a bulk state. So we are moving up slowly and robustly.
Sure.
And eventually we'll start to experience more on a more daily and regular basis of the energetic universe that is around us. So we'll start to become more aware of higher entities that are around us, more energetic beings. We'll start to become aware of those entities that are still physical entities, but just out of our frequency range. So we can't particularly see them with our physical eye or touch them. And we'll start to see these entities that are actually all around us right now, but just out of our touch or our physical vision.
So, I mean, obviously, you've spent time writing these books that you've produced. What would the source want us to evolve to? I mean, where do you see us evolving to, and what would be an improvement in your opinion?
Initially, the improvement would be for everybody to understand that there is a greater reality. That then understanding the greater reality makes a jump in terms of understanding who and what we are. And if the individuals, all the individuals on the Earth, understood that they are part of another entity, the source entity, then they'll realise that they're all one and they're all brothers and sisters, as the case may be. Once you've got that, then people's prejudice, knowing that the person next door to me is also me and God, and the person who I'm speaking to on the phone is also me and God, and the person that is 6,000 miles away in a different country is also me and God, then it brings a completely different thought process into play. You know, why would we be horrible to these people, or be discriminatory to these people, or create ferocious wars against these people when they're actually what we're warring against ourselves and our Creator? It would become a nonsense. So the source entity would really want us to start to realise, whilst we're in the physical, that actually there's a greater part of us that is linked all together, that we're all the one and the same, and we're all part of a much greater entity that is in fact our Creator, our what we call our God.
So you're saying if we all embraced oneness just for a day, for example, the world would be a different day. The world would be a different place.
It would be completely transformed overnight. I think if we could all manage that in concert, that's everybody doing it all at the same time, so that all time zones met together, then I firmly believe we would ascend in one jump. That would happen straight away. And as a result of doing that, that jump would remain robust because we'd have all moved together at the same time and not in pockets helping or holding everybody else up, as it were, through a network of enlightened versus semi-enlightened versus becoming aware versus those who aren't aware.
But obviously, you know, it's never going to be like that, is it? And I'm not trying to put that thought out there, but, you know, we've got offenders, we've got people with bad intentions, and they're not going to change overnight, are they?
I don't know. I mean, there's another individual who I've been in contact with, because I get quite a few pieces of mail now from people who bought the book asking questions and offering thanks for writing it. And there's one particular individual who admitted to me he committing two felons, two felonies, which is obviously a crime in the US, in the US where he came from. And I thought, well, this is fantastic. This guy is making a serious and objective move to improving his condition. And he asked about what the source said, he thought about him, and he said he completely forgives you. You've done what you've done, and you've realised it was wrong. And what's more, you are moving onwards and moving onwards with grace. And I think if everybody could have a glimpse of that for a day, I think even the worst criminal in the world would be changed overnight. It would be so profound. It would be, you know, an immense change. And I think the whole world would certainly jump. Certainly up a number of different frequency levels. And once the whole world does that in one go, and it will do it in one go at some point. It might not do it right now, but in an age well past our physical demise, there will be times when the whole earth and all of its inhabitants collectively jump up the frequencies, as will parts of the universe, or perhaps the whole universe as part of it, will do the same thing, because everything's in accord all at the same time, so it's got to go all at the same time.
Okay, so someone that's, you know, not having the best of times right now, for whatever the reasons may be, do they have the power to help themselves? Do they have the power to answer the problems that they're going through right now?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Some people who are having a real hard time are having a hard time because that's what they've chose to have. With those individuals, if they are becoming of an enlightened state or semi-enlightened state, then they will start to realize that what they're experiencing is for a greater cause, that being their own experience and learning and evolution as a part of it. They will be quite evolved individuals, they would, I'd have to say.
So you're saying there that they've chosen that particular problem that they're going through or experiencing, and are you saying that they have to take responsibility for that to begin with? Blame no one else, take the responsibility that they've brought whatever it is into their life, which is a pretty hard bridge to cross for some people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And once they take responsibility, what happens then?
Once they take responsibility, they'll start to see doors open for them. They'll start to see where they are and how they can move forwards, move out of that zone that they're in. Once the level of understanding within the individual reaches the point of self-awareness of that level of existence and why they're there, then they are fully able to move out of that zone. There's loads of different stories of people who've turned from good to bad. People who are gangsters, who are drug runners, who are, you know, murderers who spent like 20 or 30 years in jail, and they've come out the other side fully enlightened individuals. They've totally and utterly understood what they did wrong, why they did it wrong, and they've become more enlightened than people who didn't commit those atrocities. Again, I think they're quite rare individuals, but it can be done. Most of the time, though, other people who are in trouble, they need to either experience what they're experiencing for experience's sake, because that's what they've planned to do. Or if it's on the plan, they meet somebody or some people who will be able to elevate them in some way and then sort of lift them out of the darkness.
Okay, I mean, this can relate to health issues as well, can't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It can be health issues, it can be physical health issues as well as mental health issues. And energetic health issues, because our physical body reacts, albeit in a delayed way, to energetic issues that are surrounding psycho-spiritual problems as well, where we have various different thought forms or expectations based upon what we've been experiencing, and as a result of that our energy bodies start to get blockages, and the energies that travel around our body in tandem with the blood that travels around the body is blocked, and therefore those energy centres within our body don't work properly, and therefore we get physical responses, because the body needs to have both the energetic content moving around it as well as the physical blood moving around it to energise it.
Right. Yeah. So are you saying there, be careful what we think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's an old saying, we are what we think, and the power of thought is absolutely 100% effective. And no matter what we think about thought, everything that's been successful in people's lives has been created by thought and the constant re-emphasis of that thought, and then that re-emphasis of thought creates the action. So it's, you know, thought is the most powerful thing in the universe. Thought, when we're in the energetic, thought transports us from one side of the multiverse to the other side of the multiverse.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for us to, you know, spiritually evolve or evolve along the life plan that we're on, yeah, it, you know, our life doesn't have to be hard. I mean, who says our life has to be hard for some sort of evolution to take place?
Well, we do, essentially. When we plan to come to Earth, we decide on various different things to experience. If we decide we want to have a nice, easy life, because we just want to experience the physical, gain some evolutionary points, as it were, but not have some of the harsh lessons that are there, then we'll have a reasonably easy life. I mean, I'll give you a good example. That was my mother. She was a housewife. She had very little stress in her life. She had a good husband, a couple of good kids, I'd like to think. And, you know, she never really did much more than being an excellent housewife. She was very economical what she did. She did an excellent job in being thrifty and forthright in saving money and saving what we were doing. She was excellent. And she did a good life. Those others who want to experience real hardship will have planned to experience real hardship. Some of it is really hard, really hard hardship. Like people who've been involved in wars and had limbs amputated, or they've become paraplegic or quadriplegic, in accidents and all those sort of things. Those are the other sides of experiencing. But on the other side, you might get somebody who comes down and says, "Right, I'll have a real great time in life," and they may be somebody who's always getting things right and never doing anything wrong, and they can't do anything wrong, and money follows them everywhere, and they enjoy the money as well. There's all sorts of different sides to the coin, and we always plan it, and we always generally get out of life what we expect to get out of life, and what we plan to get out of life, and the evolutionary content associated with that.
Okay, but if someone's, like I've said before, is going through a particularly hard time, no matter what it may be, we still have the power, though, to change it, don't we? We are our own change. I mean, to say there's just a plan out there and we're living by the plan, unconsciously, of course, we still have the ability to go off course and change things and improve ourselves, surely.
We do. And if it depends upon the individual and how they get besotted by the physical things that are around them, whether it's to do with, for instance, people with drugs, they get besotted and infatuated with the sensations that the drugs give, and it sometimes needs people around them to sort of help with that change process. Really strong-willed individuals will change, and there's some classic examples of that, of people who have been involved with some of the music industry, and they've gone back. They've been famous. They've done extremely well. They've got millions upon millions of pounds or dollars backing them up from their success, and they get involved with drugs or alcohol, and then they're at their darkest hour, and something or someone helps them overcome that hurdle, and they come out the other side, and they're completely reformed individuals. So there's two things there. One is there's a desire to turn around, do a U-turn, and two, is it on plan to do that? Or three, it could well be that there are individuals around them who are part of their spirit group who are there to just keep people on track sometimes, and
yes,
therefore they can move around by association with better-minded individuals, if you want to call them that.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I like a soul partner, perhaps. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Or someone who's agreed to come on with you on the journey, and you're someone that you're supposed to meet at a later time, perhaps. Mm.
Absolutely.
So, okay, well, I don't want to... I'd love to get a bit more into the book as well. I know we've covered some subjects which are sort of skirting around some of the issues that you've put in the book. It's an interesting read. There's so much you cover in there as well. Obviously, in the book, you talk about in the beginning how the source started off, and some of the work that you've done in to sort of transcend yourself into these different dimensions that you've been in as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the surprises that you've come up with in the book that's really shocked you?
To be honest, I think the biggest surprise was that the level of convolutedness in the universe. We think that there's order, and there is law and order in the universe, But the level of convolutedness is absolutely amazing. There's certainly with some of the other source entities, not specifically in this book, but with the next book, that some of the other source entities have dimensions that exist within dimensions that link with other dimensions that are without that dimension, but also within the dimension. And it's just completely and utterly unbelievable what's been going on. And there's another entity that I've been, the source entity 8, that is constructs an environment of continuum, you know, loads of continuums together. He classifies the plural of continuum as continuum rather than continui or continuums. And he said that the entities in those continuums evolve, but they can the evolutionary state of the continuum or the multiverse that's contained within the continuum can also be adjusted to see how that enhances or plays with the evolutionary content of those entities and the continuum itself. So it's just basically it's the things that I wouldn't have even thought about that surprise me that come out. You know, I mean, there's in the book Beyond the Source that comes out that early next year.
Yeah, that sounds like a great title as well. And I mean things like, for example, in your book you talk about you talk about galaxies and solar systems, planets and creations. It seems like, I mean, obviously the universe is always expanding, isn't it? You know, so we're told. I mean, you know, the creation's always going on, isn't it?
The creation's always going on to a certain point. I mean, one of the things that is surprising is there wasn't a Big Bang. And I think even the scientists now are starting to understand that. Some of the more open-minded theoretical physicists are starting to recognise that there actually wasn't a Big Bang. And when I gained that level of information, they were still talking about levels of Big Bang and the potential for dimensions. Stephen Hawking also talked about a number of dimensions. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, because I've got 12 dimensions here, and I've got the breakdown of those dimensions, and I've got the breakdown of what's inside those subdimensions. So I was really quite, you know, amazed that I'd picked this up, and, you know, great minds like Dr. Professor Hawking were also understanding this, but from a mathematical perspective. The fact that he hasn't got there compared to where my source of information says he should be, says he needs to be, he's neither here nor there. The fact is, he's on the right road from my perspective. And the same with when I was in a dialogue with the source entity about how us as energetic mankind were starting to design the human body. And we talked about RNA and the fact that, well, and to say the fact, and the suggestion that the RNA was doing much more than being a communication medium between DNA and cell proteins. And actually, it was the link between the energetic and the DNA and program the DNA. And I thought that was fully amazing. That surprised me big time, because my wife's a medical scientist, and a couple of her really serious long-term friends are professors and medical research doctors. Two of them have had, they've got their own very, very successful business. And that, you know, that they, at that point in time, I was channeling this stuff, would have just completely, you know, refuted the evidence I've got and laughed me out of the room. But interestingly enough, later on, I mean, literally no more than 3 years later, I started to see information in some of the new scientists and some of these scientific journals like Oncogene. Evidence that suggests that there are different types of RNA, and guess what? They're programming DNA.
So right.
Getting this information up front before medical science and even theoretical physics has established it or starting to think in those directions is that's the amazing part for me, really, is getting the information and then having science catch up with it later. That for me is the experiential proof that's there to say, look, if this bit's right, then the rest of it's got a very, very good chance of being correct. Because
okay,
right now in the physical, you can't prove any of this, but there's little bits of evidence coming out from normal science, which is doing it for us.
Absolutely. And what did the source say about, or the connection that you had, shall I say, talk about, you know, life on other planets as well?
Life on other planets? It's certainly there. in its millions, the planets that we've got, certainly within the visible physical universe, I'll say the visible physical universe because the physical universe is certainly another seven levels, another frequency levels above that which we can see with our physical eyes. Is well populated with entities that are either on our frequency or slightly above our frequency.
Entities, other interdimensional entities, is that what you're saying?
Interdimensional entities, physical entities, entities that use physical crafts to travel the distances needed to go from galaxy to galaxy, universe to universe, or they use the different dimensions or frequencies within those dimensions to move around by translating from one point to another point.
Okay.
They have to create, or they are groups of entities that are energetic. They have to create an energetic construct around themselves to allow themselves to come down into our universe and experience our universe without losing those communicative and energetic abilities that they retain when in their own environment.
Okay, and would you say that a lot of some of the information that you've had about life out there, are they having just as hard as a time as we're having on this level?
Mm.
You know, are they more spiritually evolved?
In general, most of the entities out there are fully aware of their position within the source entity's multiverse. They work for the source and for their own evolution as an entity working within a group of entities. We are, and as a result of that, they are. I mean, all races out there, apart from ourselves, are how can I say this? They're like a hive mind. They're not quite a hive mind, but they're a coordinate. They exist together. They can't make an individual decision for themselves that would affect adversely the rest of those around them. Whereas we've got complete free will here to do anything we want to, whether we classify it as good or bad, and also suffer the consequences, good or bad. So, in essence, no. Earth is the hardest place to live right now. It's the densest place, and it's the hardest place to experience the physical universe because it is as low frequency wise as we can possibly get right now. Although we are moving back up again, it is the hardest place to exist, but it's also the hardest and most fruitful place to exist and live in terms of gaining evolution. And as a result of that, there are entities that are incarnate now that aren't native energetic entities to the Earth, purely because they want to increase their own evolutionary content. So they come and enjoy the hardships of life in the physical on Earth to do that.
So it seems like it's a pretty spiritual universe out there.
There are entities out there that are not—they're not as bad as what that some of the 1950s B movies suggest. That life on other planets are all about. You know, coming along in UFOs and trying to take the world over. They're not that bad, but there are levels of evolution out there that are, if you like, not the totally spiritual. They're not bad, but they're not the totally spiritual. They're sort of a bit further along the road than ourselves.
Okay.
That, yeah.
And all this information, again, has come from you channeling or going into a sort of meditative state.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Eventually, I got to the position where I didn't need to enter a really deep meditative state to get the information. I created a link that was solid with the source entity and some of the other entities that I met and discussed information with in the book, yeah.
Okay, and are you going to teach this technique to others?
Yes, absolutely. It takes quite a bit of time to do, and initially I'm starting to organise workshops now, and the first of those workshops is in Glastonbury, if I'm allowed to say, at a place called the Daisy Centre in Glastonbury on the 28th of January, where I'm going to do a level one workshop to teach people how to experience the frequencies and how to do the exercises required to move the body up the frequencies and let them feel the difference in the frequencies. They can actually, you can actually tangibly feel the difference in the frequencies. And certainly if one person increases in frequency and another person doesn't, and that person tries to feel the energy field around them, you can actually feel the difference in frequency. It's quite marked. And therefore, because it's you can get a physical response, then you've actually got proof that you're moving up the frequencies. So I'll be teaching people the very basics of how to move up and down the frequencies in that first course, and then they'll have to do exercises and do it daily, or at least on a very regular basis per week, before they can go on to the next level, which will take them up to the levels well above the level that they'll be trained to in the first workshop. And then later, another six months later, I'll take them into a position where they can start to set up their own links, be able to move around the frequencies by pure thought rather than have to go through various exercises, and start to establish their own link with various entities, including the source entity and the origin themselves. Because this isn't just for me, it's for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And, you are a service, aren't you? I mean, do you see with the work that you do, it's not just giving back to others, it's evolving yourself as well?
Yes, it's interesting. That's a very interesting question. How can we say we're not selfish when we understand that by helping others we do in fact evolve ourselves? We selfishly help other people evolve so that we evolve ourselves.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a catch-22, that, isn't it?
We should put ourselves first, though, shouldn't we? And do you think by putting ourselves first, we put others first? I mean, how does that work?
That's an interesting one. Actually, being of service to others is one of the most highest pieces of work an entity can do. And in doing so, you do, in fact, evolve yourself. So if by being of service to somebody else, you help them in the most fundamental way, and you ignore your own requirements in doing that, as a result of them evolving, you will also evolve.
But then, if we're ignoring our requirements, if we're ignoring ourselves in that process, where's the love for ourselves then?
Selfless giving. The love for ourselves is by understanding that we are more than ourselves, and therefore are able to give more than ourselves.
Because,
for the benefit of others.
Because, as you've mentioned before, we're all one.
Correct.
In your opinion, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
I do
buy into that, the oneness. I think it's a great philosophy, if we can call it that. I mean, maybe it's not my philosophy. Sorry, it's a great aha moment when you finally realize that, that I get it now. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've just mentioned that word there, love. Is that one of the major things we're here to learn?
Love is one of the biggest. We don't fully understand love, to be honest, Kevin. It's not just something we feel when we meet somebody we like to be with or we prefer not to be away from. Love is a level of beingness that we experience when we are getting close to doing those things or being around those people who are personifying the level of existence we have when we are in the energetic or getting or closer to our God, if you want to call it that. We are close to our oneness. It's like being totally in accord with ourselves and understanding ourselves and understanding everybody else around us and being delighted by their being there, by their being in existence, by their striving for what they're doing and how they're striving to evolve and how they're striving to help others evolve. It's like this pure joy in being one with ourselves, one with our counterparts, and one with our Creator.
Absolutely. And love can be misused, can't it, though?
Mm. In the physical, yes, it can be used as a in the wrong way, I would guess. Yeah, to try and probably convince people to do things they shouldn't be doing, and that's not actually love. That's coercion.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing as well, while we're on this subject, is I believe that, you know, one thing that we should learn to do in this life is forgive. Forgive is a way of life. Not to forget, but, you know, when something or someone has done us wrong, we have to forgive, don't we?
Well, forgiveness is one of the biggest and robust tools we have in our toolbox. If we can learn to forgive, if everybody forgives everybody for everything they ever did to them, then the world problems would be solved. Because all the problems that are created by non-forgiveness in the world generally. So forgiveness is the one of the most important things, the most robust things we can do as an entity.
But that's not to let a repeat offence happen, is it? I mean, you know, you can't just, you know, forget,
well, Jesus,
can you?
Jesus once offered somebody the chance to strike the other cheek. Eventually, through forgiveness many times, the person who's doing the deed will realise their own error. So total forgiveness means forgiveness totally, no matter how many times an offender offends against you.
Okay. Now, before you go, how can we communicate with our higher selves, this part of us that's more than our physicality?
Simplistically, we need to put ourselves in a quiet environment. Not only quiet physically, but quiet mentally. We need to remove ourselves from our day-to-day urgencies, from our day-to-day requirements, our day-to-day mishaps and mistakes and delights and things we want to do and things we should have done. And also from distractions that are around us. And just sit and be. Just close the eyes, and if we can, we can sort of concentrate upon the third eye area, which is in between the bridge between the two eyebrows, just above the nose area. And just focus on that, and just focus on nothing. And that means that when we shut out the physical, we shut out the mental, we start to open the door to the energetic. And it's as simple as that.
And that voice that comes into our head when we feel it's our voice just talking back to us, what could that be then? You know, once we're in that silent moment and we feel that we're hearing something back, but, you know, we feel that it's just me making it up. I'm just imagining that. It's just my voice.
Yeah, sometimes we can talk to ourselves when we're mulling things over. But in general, if we are not in dialogue with ourselves, in planning dialogue with ourselves in that way, then that which comes through to us can be our higher self, or it can be our creator or other entities that we may be associated with. And we know that they're different, i.e. it's not our self, when they say things in different ways to us, that in ways that we wouldn't use, or words that we would never use in the physical.
Right.
And that's the sort of proof that we've got that actually says, yes, this isn't me talking to myself, this is something else coming through.
And what final word would you like to give the audience?
Don't forget that we're all one. You know, we are one. We are one within the universe. We are one within the source entity. So just look around at everybody and realise that they're all your brothers and sisters. And in realising that, why would we hate anybody or hate each other or do any wrongs to each other? And on top of that, to start that process off, just take a moment to sit quiet for 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day, and give yourself time to let the mind quieten down, let the physical body quieten down, and just let yourself be for a moment. And in doing that, you start to become more aware of the greater environment around you.
Well, Guide Needler, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Kevin. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
To find out more information on Guide Needler, just go to my website, which is themoreshow.co.uk, and look up Guide Needler under past guests. Now, you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest updates on the shows. And don't forget that we have a national TV show which goes out throughout the UK on Sky 201 and Freesat 403 every Friday from 6 p.m. So until next time, thanks for listening.
If you like what you watch, then don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates on The More Show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel for new weekly television and radio shows.